right now. Let the hilarity ensue.
I think we missed the gold.
Yeah. It was. We just started recording 2 minutes ago.
That part about me not printing the show notes was... we're not going to recreate that. No. Welcome to episode 24 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan, sitting in Tubingen, Germany. With me, I have...
Adam, sitting in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Excellent. So what did you shoot?
Let's
get right into it. Let's not bury the lead.
You kind of threw me off there. I was thinking there was going to be a grand introduction. I shot... pictures at Van Dusen Gardens, which is a botanical garden in Vancouver. So this was, part of the photo challenge was a picture to take, a vibrant picture, which I imagine we're going to get into shortly. And so really I didn't take a lot of pictures this weekend, but I did on Saturday evening after dinner. I went to, on my own, so kid free, the botanical gardens just to take some pictures. I thought it would be fun. So that's what I did. That was pretty much the bulk. I think that might have been all the pictures I took this weekend.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
That wasn't exciting enough for you? You know, you've probably been to Van Dusen Gardens.
I'm just kidding. I actually have, but not in a long time.
That was only the second time for me. I went once at Christmas time, and they do an unbelievable job decorating the entire botanical gardens and lights, and so it is spectacular in the Christmas season.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, so that we did that last Christmas, and so I wanted to go back and check it out in the springtime.
I probably haven't been there in 25 years.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's a long time. I was wondering where you got this picture, and not because of the flowers. We're gonna get into your picture shortly. But the grass is amazing.
Yeah, well, now you know the answer.
You don't get that grass out in your backyard.
No. That was Van Dusen Gardens. And for any of those who may be visiting Vancouver this summer, certainly a place to check out.
Better Van Dusen or Butchart?
Different. But,
really?
Yeah, I haven't
How could they be different?
Well, I don't know. In a different location. I don't know. I've only been to Butchart once, and it was a while ago, and I don't remember it that vividly. And I went there with my parents, and it wasn't specifically to take pictures. So I think I looked at it in a different light this time, going for the specific reason of taking pictures.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Maybe they're exactly the same.
Maybe they are. I don't think I've never been to Butchart Gardens either. That's in Victoria.
Yeah.
And everyone says, oh, you got to go to Butchart Gardens when you go to Victoria, and everybody loves it. But I guess when you live there, you just don't do it.
Yeah. My parents live right close by, and I've been there once.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to have to check it out this summer maybe because we're going to go for a visit.
I guess with all the photo taking.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't take much of anything else.
Not much of anything else. So I sorry to disappoint you, but I guess that will help move the show along this week.
Yeah. I just shot kids stuff.
I didn't ask you.
I know, I'm jumping ahead. I'm moving the show along.
Oh, okay. So
rapidly.
Did you shoot this weekend?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Last week was a friend of ours' birthday. He turned 6.
Yes.
And so he had a little birthday brunch for everybody. He didn't have it. His mom did.
I was going to say.
Yeah, no, he had his kids, the kids' party. Like, we didn't go to the kids' party thing, but they had all the family and friends came over for brunch or something. Breakfast, maybe. Call it what you want.
Yeah.
And we had a really great sunny day, so the kids were running around in the playground in the backyard, so...
This story sounds like it's thrilling. Is it going somewhere?
Yeah, it was kind of a cliffhanger ending. Yeah. No.
They played. Was there a pinata?
No. But I did buy a present for the 6-year-old. He got his first pocket knife from Alan.
awesome. 6-year-old and knife. That's a fantastic present. Did you get him some ninja stars as well?
I got him a big bag of glass
I was going to say a couple of decks of matches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's already got that stuff. No, it's a special knife with a rounded off tip that he can learn to carve with.
Right.
Yeah, he loved it. I checked with his parents first to see if it was cool.
Right.
And they were, yeah, they were fine.
That's great.
And they're in prison, so they don't really deal with the day-to-days with their kids. But, you know, the foster parents didn't seem to pay attention. Right. That's terrible.
Next year's present, homemade shiv.
Yeah, wow. He'll make that for me, I'm sure, with his new knife. Right. Not to disparage foster parents there. That's not cool. No, that's not cool. That was not the joke there.
Okay? Oh, I got the joke.
I'm not worried about you getting the joke.
Okay.
I'm worried about the Foster Parents Alliance getting the joke.
Right.
No joke there, guys.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we shot some of that, and then everyone's having babies over here, including not us yet, but...
I was kind of thinking that it might go down on Father's Day, so I guess you didn't get to celebrate Father's Day. No presents for you.
No presents. They don't do Father's Day here.
Really?
I think every day is Father's Day. Right. I think. Yeah. No Father's Day, no Mother's Day.
Really?
I think somewhat. Somewhat. That's crazy because I don't know. I've heard some things. I've heard some things here that there was Father's Day or there was Mother's Day, but that the whole Mother's Day concept was created by a guy named Hitler, and so they don't like it anymore. I'm not sure.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So don't get Lena a Mother's Day present.
Well, no, I mean, I haven't found out that much info about the whole connection because turns out Hitler did a bunch of other stuff that's more famous.
Right.
And so thus that sort of gets the airtime. Point is they don't really do Mother's Day and Father's Day.
All right.
So there. Okay. Yeah.
Great.
So moving on, everyone else is having kids, and so I ended up shooting some kid portraits, some baby portraits.
Right.
Baby or infant? Newborn.
Yeah, newborn, I would say.
Yeah. So they're very cooperative, the newborns.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sit still, no crying.
Really focused on you getting your job done.
Great smiles.
Rarely throw up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, guess what? You end up shooting a lot of pictures.
Right, to get, you know, one or two good ones.
Yeah.
And so when you do a shoot like this, roughly how long are you spending? Like how long are you there?
They actually came here, but it was less time than I used to take. I used to take a while because, you know, in addition to mashing buttons and getting the lights just right and not knowing what's going on, then you have to deal with the kid.
Right.
Not paying attention. And then also my other advice when dealing with parents, like we're taking the pictures of the parents and the kid, is get the parent to just continually smile into the camera, and eventually the kid will look in the right spot and you can snap the picture.
Right. And their smile ends up looking super authentic when you employ that method, right?
You do lose out on that. Or even if it's not necessarily a smile, just get them to look where you want, because invariably these parents will spend all their time staring at the kid.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to laugh. And as soon as the kid laughs or does something, the parents are no longer engaged in the photo, so you miss out on that part.
Right.
And so what ends up happening, especially when you have, like, let's say you're doing a family portrait, when you have, you know, 2-plus adults in there, and by plus I mean 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Someone will always be staring at the kid wanting to know what's going on, and so you end up having to Photoshop the picture and pick out your favorite faces from multiple images. Because people don't listen to your directions of, just look at me. And when baby Huey there looks up, I'll snap the picture.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't happen.
Well, that's good tip, good advice.
Yeah. There you go.
That's
this week's photo challenge. Let's get into it.
All right.
You issued it. So let's why don't you go ahead and tell us what it was?
It was I think there was a license for creativity this week, and that we're looking for vibrant colors. So mm-hmm. we wanted the colors to be the aspect that we were focusing on for this week's challenge.
And why vibrant colors? What's the where did that come from?
I don't know. It's a word that starts with the letter V.
I didn't. Well, vivid. Actually, that's weird. We actually said I wrote down vivid colors. Oh, okay. As well.
Maybe that's what I said. I don't know. Vivid, no, vibrant.
I think you said,
you know.
I think so, you said vibrant.
Yeah. No, I think it just the idea of if you're taking pictures, often one of the things that stands out is the color. And so, you know, I think that the idea was to look around, and I had a bit of a challenge just with finding some really bright colors, because once I issued that challenge, I really wanted the colors that I chose to really be more vibrant, more vivid than what you might just see if you look around in your backyard or if you look around on your drive to work. And so, you know, for a week, as I was driving to and from work doing this, I kept looking for stuff. And really, I didn't sort of see what I wanted. And then I decided that, as I mentioned earlier, that I was going to go to the botanical garden because I just figured spring and flowers, and I was going to see lots of vibrant colors, and of course that's where I found my picture.
I thought that was going to be a story of as I was driving to work, I was looking, and I rear-ended a guy from Phoenix.
Well, I didn't, but you kind of get where I'm going, in that I don't yeah. know, maybe you found the same thing, but just looking around, I had a really hard time, you know, picking out vibrant colors. And part of it too was we didn't get the greatest of weather this week. And so mm-hmm. it was overcast for much of that time. And so again, everything kind of looked dull and dreary. And, you know, funny enough that when I took that picture, and we'll talk about my picture now, I guess, when I took the picture, that we're using the purple flowers at the botanical garden, it was a very overcast day.
Yes.
So I'm no expert when it comes to, you know, color, you know, how colors look best and in what conditions. And I guess you'll probably talk about that a little bit. But yeah, I found the colors turned out super, super sharp, super bright. And like on a very cloudy, overcast day.
Yep. Well, spoiler alert. I'll pronounce that better. Our topic for the show this week is going to be colors and how to get good colors, so that this ties in great. So we're going to get deep into far more deep. I don't know, those words make deeper. More sense in English. Yeah, is that a word? Deeper?
Sure.
We're going to get deeper into it later on in the show on how to achieve these, but let's talk about how we did this, because I look at your picture and it is fantastic.
I'm glad you like it.
I set the bar far too low on you on this one, I guess, because when it came through, I was like, I thought this was like an image that you stole from somewhere.
No, absolutely not.
Well, tell me how you did. We're looking at the purple flowers.
Yeah, I don't know the name of them because I took pictures of various types of flowers in the probably hour and a half I spent walking around the botanical garden. And this was actually, I think, the second image I shot. And the first image was of the same flowers, just a different angle. But no, I took this picture right at the beginning, one of the first areas that I saw in the garden. And yeah, I used my 50mm lens at an ISO of 200 and mm-hmm. The aperture set to 2.0 in AV mode, I believe. And yeah, I just snapped off a few pictures from varying angles, and yeah, and that's what I came up with. So like I said, it was a very overcast day. It was probably about 7:30 in the evening when I took that picture, and yeah, I mean I looked on the screen and I thought it looked good, but certainly when I got home I was pleasantly surprised to see that picture.
Oh, that looks fantastic. Did you mess with this, like the colors in aperture or Photoshop or something?
In aperture, very minimally, actually. Some of the other pictures I took of flowers, this picture really didn't need much. So there was a very small amount of tinkering, more for color balance, but a little bit for saturation and for I guess the, there's a slider for vibrancy. So just to make sort of the blue color, blue purpley color, whatever you want to call that, pop a little bit more. So mm-hmm. I added a little bit, but like I said, that was pretty close to the actual image out of camera.
I know we're not a post-production show. We're all about getting it right in camera, but I love the vibrancy slider.
And that's available in pretty much any photo editing program, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. That, well, they might call it something else. I don't know. I don't know all the terminology, but it's available everywhere. And I use that quite frequently.
Yeah, well, so. I tinkered just a little bit because I wanted it to be as true to the in-camera settings as I could without potentially, you know, having you beat me in the photo challenge. So I had to do the best that I could do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I cheated in the photo challenge.
How's that?
I used my professional lens.
Oh, you did?
I don't normally do it. I normally avoid it, but in this case I had no choice.
And I obviously we could tell that from how blurred out the background it is. And with your stock lens, there's no way you could achieve that depth of field.
Right. I actually want to come back to yours in a bit once we're done talking about the peacock.
Sure.
But because there's something surprisingly in it. We'll come back to it, like I just said. So the peacock is my shot.
Yes.
And I had something else in mind. To shoot for my picture, I didn't have the vibrant colors either, and we had our weather was dodgy all week. Like it would be sunny one moment and then, you know, overcast later. And I had something specific in mind at a certain hour that 7 days in a row. Forget that. Closer to 10 days, we had like a 10-day break this time. Closer to 10 days in a row, the weather would just mess with me. So I'd go outside at the right hour, at around 8 o'clock when I wanted to shoot this picture, and the cloud would just come in every night.
Right.
So I couldn't get the picture I wanted. And when I went out a couple days ago, we have peacocks that live out behind our house. And so this one always comes by, walks up to our back, like to the building next to us, and stares at himself in the window. And I don't know if you know that. First of all, peacocks are very loud.
I did not know that.
Annoyingly.
What is loud. The sound that they make?
I don't know. Google it. But I'm not going to fall for your traps.
Well, me and Jack kind of play that game quite a bit at bedtime, so I just wanted to see if you were going to play.
Yeah, it's. I almost did, actually. Then I caught myself. And oh, he's baiting me into something here. And we're recording this, too, so he'll use it later on. He'll just play it at parties. Here's Alan doing a peacock impersonation.
Well, I don't think, you know, if you're going to say something like that, I think you got to back it up, and most of our listeners probably have no idea what the sound a peacock makes.
It sounds like a lady screaming while dragging her fingers across a blackboard and breaking glass.
Awesome.
Combined. All combined together.
Okay.
So anyway, so the peacock came out, and I thought, oh great, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna snap this. But to shoot the peacock effectively, I needed to use my 70-200 L lens.
Right, because so, otherwise you'd scare the crap out of it. Is that right?
Yeah, you can get pretty close. He's okay, but it was just I wanted to get right in tight to make him the focus of the picture. And so, like you were saying about the overcast part, the clouds were in and out, and I took a bunch of pictures in direct sunlight, one of which that I posted on Flickr as the runner-up photo.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's in direct sunlight. And then this one I took here is in when it's slightly overcast, when the clouds were blowing around and got in front of the sun and kind of created a much flatter light.
Yeah.
And thus, I think, more vibrant colors.
Yeah, no, I like it.
So what I found different is my background was very green as well, much like yours.
Yeah.
And even though we didn't discuss it, it's kind of funny that we both picked generally the same colors.
I was thinking the exact same thing, like, you know, the purpley blue on green.
Yep. But when I did mine, I actually messed around with mine in post as well, using aperture.
Yeah.
Although you can use anything. I purposely toned the green down a little bit. I pulled vibrancy from the green to focus on the purple.
Right.
And then when I saw yours and thought, wow, your greens are really popping as well. Like, that's fantastic. So it's just sort of two different directions that we went with the same colors.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, sort of going back and forth between the two. Your green creates a different contrast for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who's right or wrong. I think I like both the pictures. I really like yours. When I first saw yours, that's what really hit me, was that, yes, the purple looks great, but the fact that the greens also look good is really well done.
And I think the difference, you know, with mine, looking again from your picture, is that your background is almost so out of focus that it becomes a flatter color, whereas mm-hmm. the greens in mine, because the foreground of the green is in focus and the background is so out of focus in the narrow depth of field, that I tuned up the contrast a fair bit. In mm-hmm. mind, and I think that, you know, it has a similar effect in creating that contrast because of the foreground and background. That, I don't know, I think in some ways, in my mind, that's why it works, that the green can be vibrant because there's that two layers.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just rationalizing.
I think you do know.
Yeah.
I think this could be one of the backgrounds in the next Apple software.
Sweet. And pay me millions of dollars.
I think they might already have theirs sorted for this one, but maybe next round. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Well, that leads us into how to get good colors.
All right. I can't wait to hear.
Well, I generally love black and white photography. You know, I can point to my favorite pictures that I've taken or other people have taken, and most often than not, they're black and white. But I also love getting good, crisp colors.
And why do you think your favorite pictures are black and white?
Well, that's a whole another show unto itself, I think. I like the simplicity of it. I like the fact that it is all about the subject and no longer about, or less about, the colors and it's hard to describe it in five words.
I get the idea. So,
all right, the end.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah,
colors.
So, what are some tips on how to get good colors in camera? Now, this is what we want to focus on, is getting good colors in the camera before we go into post. I'm not saying don't take it into post. When I say take it into post, you know what that means?
Yeah, that means that. Import your pictures into some sort of post-production software where you tinker with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you are going to mess with them, but like anything else, I learned a valuable lesson when I was in grade 8 in woodwork
say
class.
No, say no to drugs?
Say no to drugs. I learned that. And also in woodwork class, we were making a clock that says clock. So it's this giant mahogany clock made that's – you actually cut out the word clock, and the O is the clock.
Huh.
So it's a big hulking thing. It's actually a pretty good-looking thing. We still have it. My dad still has it up at his house. But back then, I thought, you know, because there's 30 guys waiting to get on the bandsaw, I thought, okay, I'm just going to cut this out quickly. And don't worry, I'll sand it into shape later. And then you spend approximately 12 years trying to sand it.
Yeah.
Like, it takes so much work that I thought, wow, I really should have spent the extra 20 minutes cutting this properly.
Right.
And that's what I learned in photography, the same thing is, and the big thing is, you know, yeah, we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post. That's in the movies too. Don't worry about that. We'll fix it in post. Well, you end up fixing everything in post, and it takes forever, and it's just a whole lot of work.
Right.
So my takeaway for this is get it right in camera, and then fine-tune it in post.
Good advice.
So let's get down to how you get good colors. When you went to take your picture, tell us kind of what you thought about, like how you tried to approach getting good colors.
Well, first I thought about the white balance. And mm-hmm. I think as I've discussed on previous episodes, I sometimes find that my camera, and I have the Rebel XS, kind of a basic SLR, the white balance, you know, I have a cloudy setting. So I tried that, and I'm not sure whether or not I have to look back, but I think the picture that I ended up going with, the one I like the colors the best, was actually shot in auto white balance. But I think I tried a couple with the cloudy setting, and then I switched to auto. And because again, I wanted to see what worked better, and I can't really tell well enough from looking at my LCD. So I took some in both, but mm-hmm. I try to. I think the first thing is try to get your white balance set appropriately. And then beyond that, I mean, you know, I guess, looking for good colors that are actually out there. So
that's the first thing, is actually start with a good subject, start with a color, a subject that has colors to it.
Right.
Colors that you like. The next thing is, you already said it. I mean, what time did you head down there?
I think I got there at about 7:15 ish, and I think I was there until just after 8 PM. PM, yeah.
Yeah. Now, why would you go then?
Because that's what time we finished our barbecue at my niece and nephew's house.
Perfect.
So Lisa was taking the kids home to bed, so that's what time I was available to go and shoot.
So to our listeners out there, when you want to make good pictures, wait till the barbecue is done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also happens to coincide with Magic Hour, which we've talked about many, many times.
Yeah.
And it really is magic, so that's why it's called that. Shoot early in the morning, later in the evening. That's a simple rule. It's not a rule, but you get way better results.
And I did know that, and I'm just happy that it coincided with my other plans.
It's nice when you get lucky like that, because oftentimes you'll be shooting in, you know, at noon on the longest day of the year, and the sun's directly overhead, and you just get terrible light.
Yeah.
But in this case, you had it was magic hour and overcast.
Yeah.
And the recent rain, or I guess maybe they did watering. I don't know. Was it water?
That was rain. Those droplets, the water droplets on the flowers, were a result of rain for the morning and for the early afternoon.
That the rain didn't hurt either. That makes it look great. There's a certain thing about shooting after the rain that I don't know the science behind it, but the light looks great. So,
and I wasn't thinking about any of those things. I just thought, oh, nice purple flower, green grass. I'm going to take some shots of it.
Great. Some people when they shoot with a flash, especially an off camera flash, they shoot into an umbrella or through an umbrella. You've seen that?
Yep.
That's to sort of diffuse the light and bust it up to make sure it's not a hard, direct source.
Right.
Now, when clouds roll in, they can do the same thing. They basically act as a giant umbrella and break up the light for you. And oftentimes you can get great, great light in those situations. And it allows you to capture all the colors you want without the contrast being too far off to the far end and blowing out some of your stuff, some of your colors. And so that's why that's a good thing to look for, clouds.
Now, would you have preferred, like, now in terms of your experience with color, would you more likely get a better result taking pictures at Magic Hour if there was no clouds, if it was just pure sun?
That's a good question. The answer is generally no. Generally, I like it when there's fewer clouds. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
As this entire show is, our personal opinions. But that's a great question, because in that time, I generally like what's going on with the sky. And I like to either include the sky in the picture, the nice colors in the sky, or somehow use the sky light to light up my subject, like the different colors.
Right.
So in that case, in Magic Hour, I kind of usually prefer there not to be clouds. And in the middle of the day, if you're stuck shooting in the middle of the day, I also sometimes don't want clouds, which goes against everything I just said. But there's times in the summertime, stay with me though, when you get that sort of high wispy cloud.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the name of that?
I don't know. I'm not a cloud expert.
Maybe cirrus, maybe cumulus. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably cirrus. Probably. I'm going to go ahead. I think it's cirrus.
I think you're right, actually.
I totally have no clue.
No, I think it is.
You get those kind of high wispy clouds that when the sun's at a high angle in the summertime, colors get washed out. And you really have a difficult time registering anything good. Everything just sort of looks bleached. And I don't like that situation.
Well, let me just say why I ask, because when I first went to take that picture, right, and I'm kind of actually sorry that I did ask now.
Okay.
But when I went to take that picture, I actually thought, oh, I'm going to get screwed over here because it's cloudy. And I was thinking in my mind, it was that I was going to get better colors at that time of day with no clouds. And I thought, oh, the lighting's not going to be good enough and I'm going to have to use a flash. And the reality of it is no flash. It didn't seem that bright out. And I thought that the end result is the colors look fantastic. So I was surprised to see that result in light of the fact that I didn't have the sun out.
Yes. You see, in this case, in the case of what you were shooting, absolutely wanted clouds. It really makes the picture that much better.
But the sun reflecting off of the petals, you know, wouldn't have made it good also, or
that's what I was about to say when I did that. That's what I was like trying to spit
Yosemite
out.
Yosemite Sam.
It was supposed to, it would be just a very different photo, but I can't say it would be better or worse taken at that time. I have to say, like, I'm really thrilled with your result.
So I win the photo challenge?
No question.
Oh, I've won a lot, I think.
In terms of, well, I make you feel like you win. in terms of colors, I really like what you did, especially since you were able to balance to get really popping green and popping purple. Because generally what you want to do is, what I look for when I want to get a really good color picture is I try not to have colors compete with each other.
Right.
First of all, I don't want a broad spectrum necessarily. I don't want, you know, something dominant red, something dominant green, something dominant blue, and all these yellow all in one picture. Unless I'm shooting like graffiti or something like that. But if you want to focus on the one color, like the peacock in purple, I try to get it away from distracting colors.
Right. And I agree with you. I took a bunch of pictures with yellow flowers in the green grass, and they just, again, I think for that reason that you're explaining, they just didn't look good.
Yes.
Enough said.
It's... For me, it's red and green. Like for me, because when I was agonizing over taking this picture, my lovely wife was making suggestions like, well, what about that? What about that? And there was like these times where there was like these nice red flowers. And I defaulted to flowers as well. That was part of what I wanted to take pictures of. And she had these, you know, these nice red flowers with the green background. And I just can't use that. For me, first of all, personally, I can't see it.
Right.
I can't tell the difference because of the colorblind. But just in general, it doesn't make up for a pleasing contrast for a lot of people.
Right.
Now, you might be not one of those people, so.
Well, it's Christmas colors, red and green, buddy.
They are. And I'm not saying that they don't look good. It's just that they somehow together, one doesn't jump out from the other.
Right.
And so some people, it's blue and yellow. If you're colorblind that way, fewer people, but so I look for colors that aren't going to compete. And in this case, I even turned down the green so it would not compete with my peacock.
Right.
Now, had it been raining here, and later in the day, cause I took this sort of at geez, around the middle of the day, probably at like 11:30 in the morning, which I would never would have got this shot if it wasn't cloudy. It would have looked terrible.
Right.
But had it been raining, I think I would have pumped up the green in the background because it would have had that different vibrancy and it would not have competed. It would have been nice.
Right.
So there's that. So look for specific colors. That's what I recommend. The other thing, you nailed it. What lens did you use?
I used the 50mm 1.8.
Not your kit lens?
No.
What's wrong with your kit lens?
Nothing, but I wanted the very shallow depth of field, so my kit lens won't do that.
Right. Also, you may not realize it, your $100?
Yeah.
Your $100 prime lens will get much better color and contrast than your kit lens.
And I know that you have mentioned that previously. I've never sat down and sort of did a side-by-side, take the same picture with the two different lenses and compared, but I'll take your word for it.
Yep. And if you spend even more money and you get into the range of, you buy a prime lens that's going to cost you $500 or $600, you're going to notice a big, big difference right away. That's the one thing people recognize right away. I mean, there's the depth of field. Like, that's the main reason people buy it, because the aperture whips open but you start to notice the colors and the clarity really is out of this world. And you find that when you're fine-tuning in post and aperture later on or whatever, you don't have to crank up the contrast as far.
Right.
You don't have to use the vibrancy slider as much to get the results that you want. So I highly recommend using a better lens than your kit lens. Now, if that means buying the $100 prime lens for the Canon or the Nikon version, I think they make one for about $150 or something like that. Both of them, the 50mm f1.8, you will get better colors. That's just going to happen. What if it is sunny?
I remember you mentioned when you were taking the pictures of all those bikers that you shot in the middle of the day, that one of your tips was to shoot with your back to the sun.
Absolutely. I actually have a couple. I have a couple images I'm going to post online. Do you have them available?
The bikers
right now? No. The color, the one I put in the bin in our shared folder.
No.
The two city shots.
No, I didn't look at them, but I can easily pop them open if you're going to talk about them.
Absolutely. I'll do it real quick. I just said absolutely twice in 60 seconds.
So the colors, the ones that are titled colors.
Colors. Yeah, this was in town a while ago. I shot this a few weeks ago or a couple months ago now. These aren't good pictures. I just two quick snapshots to prove a point where I was standing in town late in the day.
I got them.
Okay. I just took everyone, you can take a sigh of relief there.
Yeah.
Adam got them. So I just took two quick snapshots, and all I did was face one direction, snapshot, turn a 180, and fire away the other direction.
Same settings.
Exactly. Basically, well, I mean, the exposure is probably slightly different, but the purpose is to show what happens when you shoot into the sun and what happens when you shoot with your back to the sun.
Yes. I see what happens.
Yeah.
The washed out colors when you're shooting into the sun.
Yes. I probably could have underexposed by a third of a stop on the away from the sun shot and got even deeper colors, but just in terms of quick snapshot, a quick illustration of the point, when you shoot into the sun, the colors wash out. That's what happens. You end up getting a little bit of lens flare, and that kind of kills your contrast and your color saturation. So whenever possible, if it is sunny and you can't avoid it, keep your back to the sun. That's how you get good colors.
Okay.
The other thing is, this one I can't recommend enough, except that it's expensive. And it's not expensive, it's just more expensive than it needs to be. Use a lens hood.
Okay. And what does that do?
That cuts down, does a bunch of things. First of all, a lot of people are, when they go to buy a new lens or a camera, they're upsold to buying a UV filter to protect the lens.
And that's just like that clear piece of glass that goes over top? Is that what
correct.
It is? Yeah.
Most people pretty much use it as a clear lens cap.
Right.
That's kind of what we do. And I actually, I've used one before. I used to have one on my old video camera because, the theory being, well, you know, I have a $800 lens. I don't want to scratch the front element. So I'll buy an $800 lens and I'll spend $15 on a piece of glass or plastic to put in front of it.
Right.
Well, it doesn't really do much now. Now you just have a $15 lens, sort of.
Right.
So consequently, I stopped using them. I'm not suggesting that my method is the correct way. It's the correct way for me. I don't like using UV filters. If you put a UV filter in front, you got more glass, more opportunity for lens flare to hit it and to kind of rattle around in your lens and kill your contrast.
Oh, I've got an idea, though. What if you buy an $800 UV filter and now you've got a $1,600 lens?
That's correct. Do you want to scratch that?
No, probably not.
No. So ultimately, I stopped using them. I was only using them for protection, and so what I ended up doing is I started using a lens hood to protect myself from bumping the front element and scratching the front element. And the added benefit, it also cuts out stray light.
Right.
So you've seen these like you've seen a lens hood, I'm sure.
Oh, I've seen them, yeah.
That sticks out the front, and basically it stays out of the shot, but it basically, any light coming from the side, it's going to not eliminate, but it will significantly decrease the stray light that hits your lens.
Right.
And lens flare doesn't have to just be the sun shining directly into your camera, making the big red dot like you've seen in all the 70s movies. It can be just a slight, just hitting it slightly enough to have light bounce around your camera and kill your colors.
Now, question for you. Do you need a different lens hood for every lens in your bag?
Oftentimes. Of course, this is the part where they get you, and this is the part that drives me nuts, is that lens hoods are expensive. Like, far more expensive than they should be when you look at them.
Right.
Especially in Canada. I don't know why in Canada that Canon ramps the price up. Like, it is so out of whack that I think the lens hood that would probably cost, like, you'd probably find it for $30 in the States, you're looking at $55 in Canada.
Right.
And I needed one. I needed one for my 50mm lens, and I had no choice, and so I bought one when I was in Canada, and I felt gouged, but I use it every day.
Okay.
So that's my other recommendation for good colors, is get rid of the UV filter. Now, you still have to be careful with your lens. You don't want to scratch it, but I have not done that yet, knock on wood. So
I use a cheap enough lens that if I scratch it, it can buy another $100 lens.
That's the other thing, is I've had a few people ask me about getting a UV filter for the 50mm 1.8, and I say, no, don't bother. First of all, the UV filter would have to be so far from the lens. If you look at your lens, it would have to stick out so far from the front element that it's just, now you're shooting through a window.
Yeah.
I generally prefer the filter to be closer to the lens. But in that case, it's not going to be. If you get any dirt on your UV filter, it's really going to show up more than it would if it's on the front element, believe it or not.
Yeah, makes sense.
And at $100, yeah. If you scratch it, you get another one.
Yeah.
You know. Use it. Don't abuse it.
You should make a t-shirt that says that.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. So, also, you want to be aware of lens flare. So have a look if you find yourself shooting into the sun or anywhere in that direction, just kind of be aware if there is going to be lens flare, because that's going to kick you
when you're not looking. But sometimes that looks awesome.
Like, sometimes it does. I'm not saying don't do it, but just if you're getting bad colors, if you want crisp, clean colors.
I hear you.
It might be robbing them from you.
Okay.
There are in-camera settings that you can use. If you're going to shoot JPEG, which I still recommend people do if you're learning, I would learn on JPEG and then move on. You can set your camera. Now, you have to do this individually, read the manual, but you can alter the color settings in the camera to sort of boost the any – I'm not sure all the terms they use, saturation. They probably have presets called like vivid colors maybe.
Yeah, I think that is
Consult your manual. I highly recommend, but just have a look for them because you can actually do this without having to even touch it in post. Now, can you go too far with saturation?
Absolutely.
Yes, you can. Correct. The answer is yes.
Okay.
You end up, you can go too far and it ends up being a little bit cartoony.
Yeah.
But that's up to you. That's really more of a personal taste.
Yeah.
And the last real tip for getting really good in-camera colors is exposure. Focus. I don't like to use the word focus when we're not talking about focus. Pay attention. Pay close attention to your exposure. Because if you overexpose, your colors are going to leave. Your colors are going to be washed out, and you're not going to get that punchiness that you want.
Yeah.
So I noticed that about yours, actually. You didn't – well, you tell me.
Well, I just went one-third under. And again, typically, like we've discussed in the past, on a sunny day, I probably would have gone two-thirds underexposed in camera setting. But because this was a cloudier day, I took a couple pictures, I think, at – the neutral setting, and then I took a couple at one-third under and two-thirds under, and I definitely like the one-third under the best.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This was the hard thing for me to get over, especially even after shooting video for so long. When you shoot film, you tend to overexpose. If you're going to make an error on one side of the exposure, you're going to overexpose to get more information on your negative. Because you can fix it later, and it's better to have more info than less.
Right.
Now with digital, the opposite is true. You actually if you want to err on the side of caution, you want to underexpose, so that you don't lose all your highlight information, and consequently you maintain your saturation. So I believe mine was shot at two-thirds under, as well. For that very reason.
Okay.
So pay close attention to exposure.
Yeah.
So that's it. Any other questions about how to get good colors?
No, I think we beat it up pretty good.
I think we did. So
if you still don't know, re-listen to this episode.
Yes. Or just take black and white.
Which there's going to be an upcoming episode, right?
It could be.
Yeah, I think you sort of teased it a little bit, black and white, at the beginning.
Oh, I wasn't doing that.
Well, I sort of came off that way.
I'm about to disappoint you.
And what about a photo challenge?
Before we get into the photo challenge, I'm going to call out one of our listeners, Matt Stewart. First of all, happy birthday, Matt. Matt just had a birthday.
That's awesome. I didn't know we were doing birthday shout-outs now.
Yep, we're doing birthday shout-outs.
It's not in the show notes, buddy.
No. You know what Matt got for his birthday?
A brand new bike.
A brand new bike. No, Matt's not eight. I don't know how old Matt is. Matt listens to us from Canada, Ontario, somewhere.
Okay.
But Matt's excited. He just got a 50 millimeter lens.
Awesome.
For his camera. Yeah.
And is it a Canon?
I don't really know.
Okay. But you felt it necessary to do the shout out because Matt got a new lens.
He sent us a Twitter.
Oh.
And, he's excited about it. And I said, hey Matt, post some pictures on the Flickr and we'll make fun of him on the next show. And, he said he would, but he has not yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't think. No, doesn't look like it. So Matt, post some pictures and Adam will make fun of them, even though he has no right to do so.
Okay.
So next week's challenge.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
No, I did last week's. I'm tired of coming up with these fantastic ideas.
Oh, that's right. It's just nonstop every week. All right. I'm going to give you a choice then.
Okay.
And they're kind of overlapping.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Either we take a window light shot.
Okay.
Or just a portrait. Make a portrait of somebody.
I say window light.
Okay.
I think we've done just a portrait, haven't we?
We did a black and white portrait like that. There was something
Let's
specific.
Go window light, because I don't think we've ever specifically had window light as the challenge. I know we've each used window light in various settings, but when it wasn't the absolute theme of the picture. But let's do window light.
Window light it is.
And let's really, really encourage listeners to throw out some of their own window light pictures this week and see if we can get a few and potentially, you know, maybe talk about one.
Encourage or just beg?
Either or. It's the same thing, isn't it?
I think it's a it's a fine line. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? We're looking at you, Matt.
we gave you a shout out, Matt. We want a picture.
We want a picture, a window light with your new 50mm lens.
Yeah, and it better not suck.
His lens is brand new. He's still new with it. But Adam's right. It better not suck. Yeah, you know what? If I was him, I would actually send just the worst. Like I would go purposely take a horrible picture, just something that's just out of focus, incorrectly exposed, just a dog's breakfast.
You know the first picture I took with my 50mm lens?
No.
Picture of the 50mm lens box.
I guarantee you're not the only person to do that.
Aperture 1.8.
Oh my, yes, directly at your desk. It would be, it's hard to not do that because the boxes are so shiny and pretty.
Yeah.
With the red lettering.
Yeah.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
No, I think I did the same thing. That's the fun part when you first get your new equipment or your new camera or whatever, and before you know it, you got 6,000 pictures taken around a 3-foot radius of your desk. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
my keyboard looks great at 1.8.
Yeah.
You can see the Q, but not the W.
It's amazing.
What the? Could never do that with a point and shoot. Where was that comedy earlier in the show, Adam?
I don't know. We should just cut this part out.
We should just open right now.
It doesn't fit with the overall tone of the episode.
Well, I'm going to cut the whole episode out and just leave this nonsense.
What about where you pump up the website and the Twitter, all that? Are you gonna still do that?
Oh, let's do that.
Do that part. End on a high note.
Let's do that now.
Okay, go.
Yeah. Okay, well, Adam, wait, let me get really right into character.
Okay.
And I'll kind of talk from like deep in the back of my voice.
Okay.
Or our throat.
I'm waiting.
Okay, here we go. And Adam, where can people find your photos?
Alan, they can find my photos on my wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com. A couple of new posts she's done in the last little while that she's proud of, so can check those out.
Hey, that's great.
And Alan, how about yourself? Where can we find your stuff?
My own stuff is at alanattridge.com or alanattridge.de. You can find us on the Twitter at Two Hosers. We are on Flickr. We encourage people to join our Flickr group, which is growing slowly.
Right.
But we are watering it, so it is coming along.
Awesome.
And so check us out on there. There's a link to our Flickr thing on our main page at Two Hosers. What else? We have other stuff too, don't we?
I don't think so.
No?
That's it.
Check us out on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
iTunes, twohosers.com, and the Flickr. I think that pretty much covers it.
Yep.
You can find us from there. Well, that's excellent. I'm going to go out there and make a window light photo now. So Until next week, everybody, Adam included, go make better pictures.